Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to fitness, what's real? How about when it really, truly fits your life? That's how Anytime Fitness sees it. Because our coaches see you. It's how they build personal plans that work wherever you are and focus on everything that matters, from fitness to nutrition to recovery, all so you can push yourself further than ever. Or just through the next rep. It's Total 360 support for a real difference. That's Anytime Fitness. That's real AF. Visit AnytimeFitness.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another day, another show, another week here at the Damage Report. I am John Arola. She, Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, how's it going?
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It's Fantastic and Tuesdays here.
Fantastic Tuesdays. Happy belated Juneteenth to everybody. I know it's symbolic, but I think it's very cool that there is a holiday.
Exactly. Call me a lib. I'm glad that, thank you for acknowledging it. Of course, we had our Juneteenth special, which we've been doing for a number of years. I think there's good survey data to imply that a lot of people are every year are learning more about Juneteenth, which is good. However, there are other people who are not happy about that, and we're actually going to be running through a few of their responses a bit later on.
Of course.
But it's great to have you here on a Tuesday. I love that this is now our thing when Mondays don't work out. And it is especially nice of you to do that because, of course, you have the Bituation Room on Tuesdays. What's going on? In the Bituation Room later on today.
I mean, we're gonna talk about RFK Jr. going on Joe Rogan, you know, all the fun clips. Sam Cedar of the Majority Report is gonna be on, as well as congressional candidate Maybe a Girl, who is a drag queen and she is running for Congress, and she is an amazing activist. So
that's awesome. Maybe's been on the show a couple times over the years. That's awesome that you're having her on to run.
I knew that.
You didn't. Anyway, it's totally cool. We've got breaking news, big developments when it comes to Hunter Biden, which is, of course, the most important thing going on in America. So we're gonna be covering that. As I said, reactions to Juneteenth, reminding us why we still have a lot of work to do to fight against racism. Big updates in some of the investigations into Donald Trump, as well as his weekend interview on Fox News. That was fun. I just can't wait to talk about that. And more. Orcas, are they good? Are they bad? Are they our saviors? Should we show solidarity with the orcas? We're gonna be debating that, as well as going over the results of an interview with an anti-feminist later on in the aftermath. So everybody buckle up for that. Please hit the like button if you haven't already, if you're on a platform that allows for it. And if you wanna reach out to Francesco or I, you can send comments, tweets, and super chats and all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesco, are you ready to start the show?
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, we got some fun stuff to talk about. Only my favorite sorts of news cycles. I love elections 99% of the time. There's a couple things about elections I don't like, and we're gonna be talking about it later on today. Anyway, with that said, let's move into this. Down goes Hunter Biden, or at least he's taken a step towards going down, because he's apparently agreed to plead guilty to not paying taxes in both 2017 and 2018. He's gonna be entering a probation agreement on a charge of illegally owning a gun while being a drug user. At the very least, this is a proposed plea deal that he has apparently agreed to. That does not mean that it's done. And I feel like with this news breaking this morning, everyone has jumped way past what it actually is to fears about what it represents and all that. The right is very angry about this. They should be a little bit angry, but not that angry, because we're not done with this yet. A federal judge would have to accept this proposed plea deal, which could happen It could also not happen. So if you believe that there should be further investigations of Hunter Biden, first of all, there are already going to be, and even this one might still go farther than it already has. But here are a few of the details that went into this plea deal. Agreement. The Justice Department has charged that Hunter possessed a Colt Cobra revolver in Delaware back in 2018 while, quote, knowing that he was an unlawful user of and addicted to a controlled substance. So not a massive charge, but it's one that I think the right is going to be okay with, even though if it wasn't Hunter Biden, I imagine the fact that you're addicted to something would never be accepted as a reason that you're not allowed to own a firearm. But in this case, he's a lefty, I guess, so it's okay. Anyway, the maximum penalty for that gun charge would be 10 years in jail and a fine of $250,000. In addition to the gun charge, he was also charged with failure to timely file and pay taxes in 2017 and 2018. And so that's basically the balance of it. Now, what that does not include coming out of a years-long investigation is anything having to do with what many on the right believe is influence peddling. Corruption that Hunter Biden and also Joe Biden, probably Jill Biden too, were using their influence in the US government for financial gain, which would be a significant crime if they did it. If Trump and his family did it, they don't care. They're not remotely interested. It doesn't matter. But anyway, they don't have anything on that here. And a lot of Republicans, Francesca, are frustrated about that. They consider this to be sort of a slap on the wrist. We're going to give you some of those in a bit, but what do you make of this development?
I mean, we can set aside the fact that Republicans are reaching when it comes to Hunter Biden, but it's pretty striking, obviously, that the thing that Republicans love, which is gun owners, you know, they love all kinds of gun owners, right? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, as long as you are part of a so-called well-regulated militia, you're a freedom-loving American, right? Except when you're Hunter Biden and you're addicted to a substance. But like, let's be real, people. How many alcoholics in this country are also firearms owners? I'm gonna say a lot of them. And that's not to say that those people don't need, you know, help and support and all that. But let's be real, there's a lot of dangerous firearm owners in this country. There's a lot of responsible ones, but there's a lot of dangerous ones. To me, the crazy thing is, to hit someone who is an addict, an admitted addict. If you're an admitted alcoholic, that's fine. You're struggling with it, that's fine. You shouldn't immediately necessarily have to pay $250,000. Like, who can pay that other than the president's son right now? Like, I guess that's what's striking me, is this sort of unequal you know, adjudication, right? Or the ways that like the law is applied to people unequally. The only reason we're paying attention to Hunter Biden is because it's Hunter Biden and the right has a big old hard on for him and anything he ever did. And the reason we're not paying attention to, I don't know, maybe he's taking the fall for other people who are like, oh geez, I didn't realize I had to not own a gun if I'm addicted to a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, look, we're in this weird position where like the right believes that Hunter Biden is possibly the most evil villainous figure in world history. At least that's the way that they talk about him. I don't know exactly how like Democrats who love Biden think about Hunter. I don't know if, because there are definitely Democrats that are like, Joe Biden has never done anything wrong and could never do anything wrong. We're obviously not that sort of Democrats. I don't know how many Democrats will expand that infallibility to Hunter Biden. I assume they probably have a more nuanced view of him. I will say that if he has committed significant crimes, influence peddling or whatever, then yeah, lock him up. And in fact, my inclination would be, it's not warranted and I don't like giving ground for things that aren't warranted, but like I wish that they would just appoint a special counsel to investigate it, because then the matter would be resolved. I'm joking, it wouldn't be. Then of course it would be Biden's special counsel and then Merrick Garland's what? Like there's nothing that Biden can do by design that would get the right to stop freaking out about this. Just to be clear, if Hunter Biden went to jail for 10 years, that would not make them feel better about it. They're implying that it would by saying that this is a slap on the wrist, but they would not be like, oh good, justice was done. Now we can get back to this serious work of governance.
No.
They wouldn't. If Joe Biden said, you know what? I'm going to not run for president next time. I'm going to spend time with Hunter Biden. That would not like be considered a win on their part. The entire thing is just like, Like, can it just be based on the substance of what was actually done? Does everything have to be symbolic and metaphoric of something broader? But that's what this is about.
Yeah, and the other thing I will say is it's also about the way our tax code is applied unequally, right? So Hunter Biden is pleading guilty to 2 counts of failing to file his taxes on time, right? This is not fraud. This is, I mean, I guess if you wanna say that you were late, okay, fine. Maybe that is fraud. Meanwhile, how many 1%ers, how many millionaires and billionaires are every day getting away with massive tax, legalized tax fraud, whether it's through, you know, a massive amounts of tax write-offs and tax breaks, to just having the right accountants, right? It's Donald Trump paying, what was it, $750 in the year 2017? I can't remember exactly, but like less than you and I for sure paid in that year. So like, that's all legal in this country, but oh no, it's a federal crime because he's late. Meanwhile, again, I would love if the Republican Party would go after any kind of 1% tax offender. Hunter Biden, definitely part of the 1%. Let's go after all of the 1%ers and their, you know, tax misgivings. But no. We of course think that beefing up the IRS is completely partisan, and Republicans have gutted any efforts to do so.
Yeah, 100%. Donald Trump would like brags about not paying his taxes again. Like, it's just, I wish that there was at least pretend consistency. Like, I know that most people are not capable of actual consistency. That's fine. I like the pretend. I like the cosplay of a rational world where people care about facts. But we don't have that. We don't have that. Also, by the way, and I made this point before, so I'm not gonna go super in depth or whatever, but like, let's also remember that so much of the Republican response to Joe Biden is just, Trump has put us in this position. And by that I mean, Trump does a thing that is indefensible. Mm-hmm. And so we have to pretend that Biden has done the same thing. So if Trump has been accused of sexual assault by dozens of women, then Biden has to sniff little girls' hair or whatever. That's all that is. Trump's a pervert, so I guess Biden's gotta be a pervert too. Trump's family clearly profiting off the presidency, so I guess Biden's family has to be doing it too. It's like when they do an insurrection and then they are tripping over themselves looking for something the Democrats are doing just to call it insurrection. It's that constant need to nullify the indefensible by pretending that there's an equal thing on the other side.
And there's literally nothing, John. I mean, honestly, like there in the whole Burisma BS, there is nothing. They did an investigation in 2020 already, 87 page document, could find nothing, no smoking gun. This is not about like, oh, and then Burisma put a pipeline directly into the White House so they get natural gas just on tap. Like, no, there was nothing happened. There was no secret deal. There was no private, like, oh, the Biden family has like a shrine built to them over in Ukraine. Yeah. No, like Trump has an Israeli settlement named after him, okay? That, like, there's not even that. There is no statue. It was Hunter Biden was legal counsel to this, you know, to this company that then was, had been in involved in bribes in other affairs, nothing to do with the United States. And Hunter Biden was like, oh, I guess I should have looked into that. Too bad I was high on cocaine the whole time. Like, the dude's admitting to it. So anyway, just to get it, like, there's nothing there, y'all. Like, there's literally nothing there. You know, if there was, they would have found it. Now they're going off about 17 tapes. They don't exist. Yeah. There's nothing.
We can't go in depth. I just want to give you, because Donald Trump has been bleeding about this, obviously.
Yeah.
Because, and I noted this in our document. Isn't it weird how, like, when Trump is charged with crimes, it's good news for Trump, and when Hunter Biden pleads guilty to crimes, it's good news for Donald Trump? Isn't that weird? Like, why is that the way it works? But whatever, he's super happy about it. And then he's going and he's retweeting other like right wing grifters or whatever. So this guy, Jack Posobiec, is one of the right wing grifters. He's like, 100 year charges for Trump over paperwork filing, a plea deal for Hunter over the laptop. Are you paying attention yet?
What?
First of all, you can't just say anything and then say, are you paying attention yet? Huh? Wasn't that a good point? No, it wasn't. It wasn't a paperwork filing. You're just lying to your audience. Isn't that weird that they don't mind that? He goes on to say, they want Trump to die in prison. They want the Bidens off the hook. First of all, who's they? It isn't hypocrisy, it's hierarchy. They don't expect you to buy it. They expect you to do nothing. I swear to God, the sentences at the end of each of his bleats definitely was a prompt in ChatGPT. What's the most condescending thing I can say to an audience that loves me? Is all that is. It isn't hypocrisy, it's hierarchy. Look, to be clear, he says they want Trump to die in prison. They want the Bidens off the hook. He wants Trump off the hook. Like, he wants a hierarchy. He just wants the hierarchy where Trump doesn't get in trouble. He is literally making the case that Trump, who definitely broke the law dozens of times, should not suffer any consequences. The billionaire former president shouldn't suffer any legal consequences. He's against elitism and hierarchy. Isn't that weird how that works out?
The entire right-wing strategy when it comes to covering for Donald Trump's crimes is just, no, you are.
Yeah, it's effective.
That's it. I know you are, but what am I? Like, That's it, period. And it's working? I think it's working.
Well, again, because these are people who are so desperate to believe that Trump isn't gonna go to jail, shouldn't go to jail. You can just say whatever they want to them, they don't care. Anyway, we have to move on to our B block, important developments. So whenever we're ready, we'll jump into that. Juneteenth was this Monday, just yesterday as when we're recording this. And over the weekend, obviously, there were a number of celebrations around the holiday. Not all of them went well. One turned into a tragedy. One person was killed, 22 others wounded in a shooting at a Juneteenth celebration in a strip mall parking lot in Illinois, just southwest of Chicago. Some police officers were monitoring the event when they received a call about a fight. The officers were headed to the fight when they heard gunshots and then returned to the celebration. We don't know what the motivation was. There are reports that they believe that there were multiple people involved, but nobody was actually caught yet. We don't know what sort of guns were used, if it had any motivation beyond personal. We don't know. We don't know the condition of the people who were injured either. All we, I guess, can say at this point is, This is America, man. You can't have a holiday weekend without senseless violence. 22 people being wounded, by the way. Like, even for America, I feel like this should break through. Yep. And this should stick out to people. Like, that is a massive amount of violence. Yes. At something that was just supposed to be a holiday celebration. And I'll challenge the audience. How many of you think that people will still be talking about this in 72 hours? That's the country that we live in, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, 22 people immediately sticks out. You're like, there's some high powered weapons going on, automatic weapons.
Or a lot of pistols.
Or a lot of guns.
A lot of people being hit.
But also, like, I don't know who these folks were. And chances are, if they're Black Americans, that's the reason that it's not breaking through to mainstream news outlets. You know, if it's a white American aggressing, again, we just love, like, you know, we love any kind of violence when it comes to guns, except for if it's like gun violence in the Black community. And I'm not trying to pull the Black on Black crime. I'm trying to earnestly say that, like, there are guns throughout all kinds of communities in this country, and every single community is affected by it. So we don't know the motivation, we don't know what happened, but still, an everyday argument can accelerate and escalate into something like 22 people being wounded and injured. But again, we don't care about that unless Candace Owens trots it out as a reason why we shouldn't talk about police violence, because we should first talk about violence in the Black community.
Yeah. So look, devastating. Like, a person being killed, 22 wounded. That is just so many families and groups of friends that are, like, their life is never going to be the same. And at the same time, let's also acknowledge, so I see people talking about, there was, I believe Beyond Wonderland, it was an EDM festival, I believe, in Washington. There was a shooting there that I believe two people died in. People are saying in the chat there were 19 mass shootings over the weekend. And if that is enough to break through and start another brief conversation about gun violence, what's the best that we can hope for is that some Republicans will come out and be like, yeah, there shouldn't be side doors to EDM festivals, or the EDM festival really should have had off-duty cops with AR-15s. Again, like, there's no progress. Shooting after shooting after shooting, no progress whatsoever. Okay, with that said, It is always an option for racist people when a thing like Juneteenth happens to just not say anything. You could just have a nice relaxing day, you could take a nap or whatever, go on about your life. Very few, it turns out, feel comfortable taking that option, as you'll see in some of these reactions to Juneteenth from this year. First, here's a caller to C-SPAN.
It certainly enlightens me how Democrats think. I have not heard one white Democrat apologize for slavery. I haven't heard any black person say thank you to the over 300,000 white men who died to free those black slaves. I'm astonished. I realize we're focusing on slavery, but my descendants are from Scotland and Ireland. We never owned slaves.
All right, in Texas.
Yeah, I probably would have cut the call off at that point too. So there's a lot there, Francesca, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I love the trotting out of the, you know, my ancestors are from Ireland or Scotland or whatever. Presumably he's making the case that his ancestors came here after slavery was abolished. The idea being thus, I obviously didn't do it or whatever, so get off my back. But you'll notice that the fact that he bears no blame hasn't stopped him from needing to be like, well, why aren't people apologizing to the white men? But I thought you had no dog in this fight. I thought your ancestors were still, you know, in the Highlands until after that. Why are you taking it so, why are you so sensitive about it if you bear no blame and you're definitely not feeling guilty? That seems a little bit weird. You should be thankful that so many white men died. Yeah, look, there were plenty of soldiers that died who wanted to end slavery. There were also a lot of white men who died who wanted to keep it. That was sort of the thing. Or thought, you know, our leaders are right. States' rights or whatever. They may not have owned slaves, but they were fighting to maintain that economic system. So
there were lots of black soldiers who also died for their own freedom. Yeah. And for
apologize to them, caller.
The union. No, but I love the same people who are like, my ancestors are Irish. We didn't own slaves. We were too poor. You notice how in different conversation they're always like, actually, I had relatives on the Mayflower. And like, you're like, okay, all right, bro, let's fact check this. I love how you love both things. But also, it's so bizarre to me. And maybe it's like, because my parents were both born in different countries, even though I feel this is my home. But when I learned about slavery, it wasn't like, well, I don't know. Like I didn't feel personally either absolved or implicated. I felt like, wow, that was so awful. And that's part of a country that I call home. This is terrible. Let's make sure we never go back to that. Let's make sure, I wonder what's happening with those formerly enslaved people and their descendants now. Oh, there's still ramifications? Gee, isn't that terrible? Like, it's so way to make this about you, white people. You know what I mean? Like, they love to be the center of the story. Like, oh, sorry. You're gonna have to, you know, not all lives matter, the slavery story.
Yeah. I also love how often the people who would be like, the Democrats should apologize because they did it, because the Democrats were in the South.
Oh, yeah,
they should apologize, pretending that they don't understand how parties change over time or whatever. So like they're like, so you guys did it. But then meanwhile, they're the ones that are saying, yeah, but slavery wasn't that bad. Like, why are you blaming the other side? But then simultaneously, you're the one arguing for why people are really being too serious about slavery. Isn't that weird? You got, again, you seem defensive about the thing that totally wasn't part of the ideological heritage of the movement that you're a part of, albeit with some changed labels or whatever. But you can't simultaneously engage in this anti-CRT, anti-woke thing and to try to say that the other side are secretly the true racists. It doesn't make any sense. That said, I understand that we're a little bit over, but I want to move into one more section because there are people like that caller that have some takes that I don't like. Then there are the people who are obsessed with Juneteenth. Let's jump into Charlie Kirk.
Some of you will be listening to this episode as it airs on Juneteenth. The heck is Juneteenth? It depends who you ask, okay? But let's talk about what it actually is. And we opposed Juneteenth becoming a federal holiday as it happened. And yes, it is the day that it is mandatory to work at Turning Point USA. We're going to talk about it actually on the day. I say we're given multiple days out off for our actual Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. The issue is that the entire point of it, as per postmodernists do and deconstructionists, is to subvert July 4th. That has always been the agenda. That there is a Black Independence Day and a National Independence Day, the same way that they have a Black national anthem that plays before NFL games. They have Black-only dormitories and Black-only math classes. It is a neo-segregationist federal holiday, is what it is.
You know how I know that this is not a segregationist thing? Because he's against it. I'm pretty sure that he's not actually. Jesus, that is just... That is just a, you know, as an aside, relatively twitchy white man who is ranting against Black people having things. That's all that is. I was against it. I want to make sure that you know that at the time I was against it. You know, like in the moment, they're always so proud of being opposed to like Juneteenth being established as a holiday, like MLK Day being established as a holiday, segregation ending or whatever. They always, like they're so excited, but then eventually they realize they have to move on. Like he in 20 years will not be making these claims or whatever. But for now, my God. Well, look, I would assume whoever eventually replaces him, some younger conservative
some
man.
Some AI bot, yeah.
Say whatever to young racists or whatever. Yeah, it's amazing how angry he gets about a holiday that he could just not participate in, I guess. What do you think?
I mean, if anything, it's Father's Day that it was like a little bit too close to. Why don't you take that angle? That's fine. No, this is just so, you know what? Watching Charlie Kirk get triggered by Juneteenth just sort of, again, undergirds the fact that it's wonderful that Juneteenth exists. It's great that it, and that in a way he's explaining, you know, Black Independence Day, right? When all people who lived in this country were, well, not enslaved anymore, right? I mean, not necessarily living the freedoms that white men had at the time, but there was no more slavery. That's a huge reason to celebrate, and not just for Black Americans, but for all of us, right? So it's kind of nice when you, again, I think all holidays should trigger people. Look, sometimes I get triggered by July 4th, to be honest with you. I'm not really into pig butts. I'm not really into fireworks. I mean, actually, let's be real. I love fireworks, but you know, I used to live in San Francisco and you could never see them. So I'd get really mad because it's just fog in the summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is just like, yeah, man, we need this. This is good. Let's have a fun barbecue. Let's celebrate on Juneteenth. And if nothing else, take the moment to remember this is the true Independence Day.
Yeah. Like again, I love the combination of him saying, what is it, even is Juneteenth? And then like he tries to make like a history based arguments against it, implying that he's done just enough research to lend like a veneer of science to his anti-Black rant that he's going on. He tweets, if Juneteenth was really about emancipation, why not September 22nd when Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation? Why not when the proclamation took effect? Why not with the ratification of the 13th Amendment? Because it's not about emancipation, which was one of America's great moral achievements, even though slavery wasn't that bad. I added that, but he was definitely thinking it. It's about creating a summertime race-based competitor.
Oh my God. July 4th.
Jesus, dude. Okay. Then why do we have Memorial Day? I've always felt like it's trying to compete with Veterans Day, and both of them are competing with Independence Day, which is really about the soldiers who gave us the independence. Like Jesus, man, it's a holiday. There's different holidays. Like we all understand why you have a problem with this. This just reeks of Ben Shapiro tweeting, you know, Wakanda's not real, right? It's like it has nothing to do with you or your life. But you know that you have to periodically remind your audience that you're with them when it comes to questions of race. So you just like you work so hard to have an issue with something that's causing no damage whatsoever. You know, if it is a mandated holiday where people get to take time off, then good. Whether you like the history that it's enshrining regardless. And by the way, the very point of it is that it's when emancipation wasn't just a thing that was said, but it was a reality.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a thing that some communities are used to hearing a thing, but it not actually playing out that way. And the action is more important than just the proclamation. So that's why we want to honor that. There's something to actually be learned here that maybe has echoes in the situation that we're in right now. But even
so, look, the other day, he didn't know what
The American people are owed so many extra days of not having to grind away for capitalism that honestly, I don't even care what you call it. They are owed this day and they're owed many other days. Sorry.
Final point. I effed up your flow. Final point. The other day, Charlie Kirk Googled glory hole. You could just Google Juneteenth. What is it? Oh, when the last slaves found out, enslaved people found out
100%.
Slavery was abolished.
He doesn't care. By the way, I'm gonna end with this. Candace Owens tweeted, Juneteenth is still ghetto and made up. It's a holiday. Where do you think holidays come from, Candace? Do you think that paleontologists dig them up in the fossil record? That's what a holiday is. It's a made up thing. But unlike her, I actually do hope that everyone enjoyed it. And with that, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, lots to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, lots to get to. Let's jump into this. From the very beginning of almost any of the investigations into Donald Trump, both Trump himself and his allies have said that all of this is political. All of this is needless. It's not based on anything. It is just an attempt to get him. They are applying a different standard to him than to others. And it turns out there is actually something to that. But the standard they're applying to him is not the one that they say that they are. There's this new reporting coming out of top Justice Department and FBI officials and the initial conversations about what to do over the insurrection of January 6th. And it turns out they were applying a very different standard to Donald Trump in that they were incredibly hesitant to even look into whether he might be guilty of some sort of crime. They were willing to look at many people, but not him. The double standard was that they gave him extra protection from investigation. They did not leap on this, as many conservatives would say, desperate to find something to get Trump so that he couldn't run against Biden. No, they were so hands off that others in the DOJ and the FBI were incredibly frustrated about it. We're gonna give you more of the details. So this is according to CNN. The FBI, mindful of not wanting to appear partisan, had for months held off on launching a formal investigation into former President Trump's role in efforts to subvert the 2020 election. That is totally plausible. They are constantly terrified of appearing to be partisan, not seeming to understand that if they literally just abolished the FBI, that would be pitched as partisan and anti-Trump. There is nothing you can do that is gonna take away those accusations, and yet they constantly try. Following his March 2021 confirmation, Attorney General Garland, along with Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco and FBI Director Christopher Wray, doubled down on a bottom-up approach that focused first on prosecuting rioters. Garland's early attempts at avoiding accusations of a politically motivated probe worried some inside the department, who told the Post that it slowed down investigative efforts. Because of course it did, and arguably that's what the point of it was. But look at that bottom up approach designed to shield Donald Trump and to shield them from accusations of partisanship was a double standard. He motivated it, he was protected from the consequences of it. And even though they did all of this from the very beginning, they were attacked as still being partisan. Francesca, what do you think?
I mean, this is so on brand FBI. This is so on brand. I don't even wanna call it the deep state because they're not deserving of such a cool sounding title. No, these are careerist, centrist bureaucrats who in the wake of one of the greatest attacks on our democratic process from the inside, potentially stoked by a outgoing president, they were like, you know, is it too partisan if we investigate your right-wing coup? I don't know. Like that, I mean, look, I believe in defund and remake the police in every level. And I seriously say defund and remake the FBI, okay? Not MTG's way, not in the right's way. But truly, if we're going to have cowards like this inside the FBI, then who's actually protecting us? Who's actually looking out for our national interest, right? Because this is so clear that like, this is going to be the death of us, man. This is going to be, if we lose again to a Donald Trump, I mean, then yeah, there's going to be no FBI ever. Oh, no, sorry, there will be. It'll be the personal brown shirts of that actual fascist, the Stephen Miller, the Ron DeSantis, the Tucker Carlson who comes to power. That's what's going to happen. And these bureaucrats who are too scared and shaking in their boots will be raised to the ground in a moment's notice. It's so infuriating. And final point, this is why the Mueller investigation was BS to begin with. Oh yeah, the libs love Mueller. Oh yeah, Mueller's gonna save us. Mueller's a career FBI man. You think he found all the evidence and was like, but a president can't be accused of a crime. Mm-hmm. Give me a break.
Yeah, 100%. Like, how much extra protection does he have at every level? Not having to provide his tax information year after year after year. Everyone else has always done that. He doesn't have to do it. He's protected for, like, constantly they're terrified of doing anything that can be portrayed as partisan. And no matter what they do, they're going to be called it anyway. And the end result of all that is that things have been delayed, by the way. There likely will be some sort of charges thanks to Jack Smith, the special counsel, over January 6th, but they will be coming way later than they otherwise would have. And mm-hmm. that actually matters, because if those are federal charges, then that's another thing that you can just put on the silver platter that can be handed over to Donald Trump upon inauguration. And he can just get rid of them. And I will say, while there's still a lot of campaign to go, and you know, God only knows what months of new charges and trial updates and all that might do. I was looking at the most recent round of three or four polls or whatever, and Trump was up by like six. We live in a sick country, remember. The more crimes he is credibly charged with, the more Republicans love him. Even though like there's some polling showing that he's lost a little bit of approval amongst Republicans, he's doing just fine amongst them. Yeah. So like, and again, he's going like, they can now say you're doing these charges against the guy who's running for president. They decided to wait, not just on January 6th, but on the documents as well. They could have made those charges earlier. They could have set up the special counsel earlier before he was running. They decided to wait, and that allowed them to be pitched as partisan more so. That said, I want to move into a little bit of the developments that we do have. We know at least when the next planned date in the classified documents legal process is going to come. That is August 14th. So mark your calendars. Preliminary start date for the criminal trial of Trump over these classified documents. That is according to Judge Eileen Cannon, who ruled that all pretrial motions should be filed by July 24th. It is widely expected, though, that probably will not be the way that it goes. Trump and his legal team are going to do literally everything they can to delay this thing. Some of it might be legitimate, some of it might not. But bear in mind, at least for now, you have Eileen Cannon, who's going to be the one to adjudicate that. And Eileen Cannon, in previous iterations of this investigation, has gone way overboard in trying to protect Trump. She was appointed by him. She clearly feels loyalty to him. If he wants to delay this thing, I don't see why she wouldn't play ball on that. And so we could see this development. This is within 2 months, by the way. But Francesca, I don't know what your expectations are at this point.
I guess I was hoping that there would be a reassigned judge, and I forgot exactly how that legally happened.
There could still be. It is entirely possible that that's one of the pretrial motions that the prosecution would put forward. That is possible.
It runs into the election year perfectly, right? Like, and so, and I will say my only thought on this is that I think this is the one crime, even though there's 37 of them, this is the one crime that actually will make some of his supporters jump ship. And we have seen his, you know, lackeys jump ship on him over it, because unlike January 6th, which yeah, it was technically a way bigger crime and hurt way more people that we know of course, classified documents then being used as show and tell at a private residence could have gotten people killed. We don't know that, we don't have the links to that yet. But it's like, The documents one is the one where he didn't do it to stay in power. He just did it because he's a megalomaniacal baby. Yeah. So no Republican is going to be like, yeah, we did it to stay in. Damn it, no.
Well, we're going to get to after this break, we're going to get to a little bit of his evolving excuse for why it played out the way that it did. We'll have a video from his interview with Bret Baier coming up after this. Okay, everybody, we've got more to jump into in terms of videos. I also want to say to our live audience, I apologize if my like brain is a little bit unfocused. I am like, I don't know what's going on. I'm super dizzy right now trying to just push through for the show, but I'm not feeling good. Just a little heads up to you.
No.
But anyway, what's that?
You operating at dizzy is like me operating at 100%. So
you're doing great.
John, you're crushing it.
Slept in 8 months. Okay, with that said, let's have a little bit of fun starting with this video.
Please, please, could we have it back?
And they
please,
asked for that.
Because they have no, we
they
were
did
talking.
Ask for it.
No,
and they said, can you give the documents back?
And we were talking.
And then they said, they went to DOJ to subpoena you to get them
which
back.
Which they've never done before.
Right. And but why finished, not just hand them over then?
Because I had boxes. I want to go through the boxes and get all my personal things out. I don't want to hand that over to NARA yet. And I was very busy, as you've sort of seen.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the first time they've ever subpoenaed anyone. Yes, they never had to before. When you make an unprecedented time happen, you can't just point to the fact that we're in unprecedented times as a defense. But that is Donald Trump saying, and I believe this is the most detail he's gone into in terms of his, I was gonna give the documents back, but I didn't want to yet. I was too busy. And admittedly, he did have a very busy schedule for the year or two after he lost the presidential election. He was playing a lot of golf. He was interrupting a number of weddings and eating a lot of beautiful cake, the best chocolate cake. So how could he be expected to return the documents in a timely fashion? But he goes more in depth into what was filling those boxes in this clip.
But according to the indictment, you then tell this aide to move to other locations after telling your lawyers to say you'd fully complied with the subpoena when you hadn't.
But before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things, golf shirts, clothing, pants, shoes. There were many things. I would say much more, not that I know of, but everything was declassified. And Biden didn't have the right to do that because he wasn't president. Nor did Mike Pence, by the way, have the right to do that because he wasn't president.
Right, I'm not gonna.
What?
Okay, there's a lot of competing nonsense in there, but he says, I didn't give them back because I didn't want to hand over my golf pants or whatever, whatever his excuse is. He is making clear in that interview, I know that I was required to give them back. I wanted more time. By the way, the intro question in that second video is, you told them you had complied and you hadn't. And he says, yeah, I had pants. I had a golf shirt or whatever. He is admitting to knowingly violating that subpoena with Bret Baier right there. I know that there's a lot that's funny, Francesca, and we will have fun or whatever. But he is acknowledging knowledge of the crime that he committed there. And coming up with a BS excuse for it, that part's irrelevant. He admitted that he did it. What do you think?
It is very clear that Donald Trump is lacking legal counsel at the moment to tell him, do not go on to Fox News right now without your buddy Tucker, who's going to softball everything. Do not, please, please do not, and do not say anything about the documents. This is a make it a campaign thing, make it about your presidency. Like, it's hard to watch, and the hardest part is that guy's gonna be the nominee for the Republican Party, and he might win the presidency. Ergo, like sort of evading most of this, pardoning himself. But I love also him saying like, they weren't the president. Mike Pence, Joe Biden had documents. They weren't the president. Sir, do you realize the president cannot just do anything that they want? Do you understand that? Okay, let's just make sure. Also, by the way, Biden and Pence, there you go. Biden and Pence gave back the documents when they were asked for the documents back. You, on the other hand, were like, I don't know, there might be vibrators in with it. You know, I keep all of my toys in the dungeon. You know, like, you know, he doesn't have a dungeon, well, but you know what I'm saying.
A lot of the boxes that they gave back, Trump's thing blew up. So they started willingly going and looking for documents to hand over. They were not, the FBI was not closing in on their home. And they also didn't have documents of the sort that he stole. And
yeah, Biden did the whole like, teacher, you forgot to give us homework. Like he like looked for extra classified stuff to turn over.
Yeah, and seemingly the worst stuff that Donald Trump stole is the stuff that he kept after multiple rounds of lying to the authorities that he'd given them back. All of this just looks terrible. That said, I want to mix things up. So let's get ready for video 4. It'll be the last thing that we'll close out the hour with. We're going to jump ahead to the fourth video. Let's have a little bit of fun going to this.
In 2016, you said that. I'm going to surround myself with only the best and most serious people.
Well, I did do that.
This
time. We had tremendous luck. We had the best economy we've ever had.
This
world has ever seen.
Your Vice President Mike Pence is running against you.
Yeah.
Your Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, she's running against you. Your former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he's not supporting you. You mentioned National Security Advisor John Bolton. He's not supporting you either. You mentioned Attorney General Bill Barr, says you shouldn't be president again. Calls you the consummate narcissist and troubled man. You recently called and Barr a gutless pig. Your second defense secretary is not supporting you, called you irresponsible. This week, you and your White House called your White House Chief of Staff John Kelly weak and ineffective and born with a very small brain. You called your acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney a born loser. You called your first Secretary of State Rex Tillerson dumb as a rock, and your first Defense Secretary James Mattis the world's most overrated general. You called your White House Press Secretary Kayleigh Kennedy milquetoast, and multiple times you've referred to your Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao as Mitch McConnell's China-loving wife. So, why did you hire all of them in the first place?
Because I hired 10 to 1 that were fantastic. Well, I mean, you just went through a list. But don't forget, for every one you say, I had 10 that love us. And one thing happens, I find, with
that is devastating. So look, that is really a demonstration of the difference between an interview like that, which you can sort of control, versus like a town hall.
Yes.
Brett Baer put that together. Obviously, he was planning to read that in rapid fire. It's devastating. And Trump, his only response is, yeah, but 10 to 1, they love me. I want to be very clear. There are not 10 to 1 to like or hate you. That's a lot of the senior positions. I mean, maybe your Secretary of Labor liked you, or Betsy DeVos was a big fan. But you're talking about some heavy hitters in state and defense and your chief of staff, your ambassadors.
Yep.
That is devastating. And it's so weird that this has never bothered his fans. That he says he hires the best people, the smartest people. And then invariably, they end up hating him and he hates them even more. What do you think?
Yeah, the only ones who he still likes are all the ones who've like been to jail, right? Like
for him, yeah.
For him, except you know, except his fixer, whose name I'm now again mom brain is forgetting. But it's just insane to me. Like 10 to 1, who Hope Hicks? Isn't she like working on her own personal branding against you? Like everyone has turned you into an opportunity for a personal branding exercise to market themselves against you. Like I don't think any of these Republicans, I mean, maybe Mattis and Kelly had a moment of not being utter POSs, but Bill Barr, please spare me. Yeah. But all these people are like, yeah, they're using him also. I don't know. I think that's a better defense. It's like, well, they're just using me for a personal branding exercise. They're rhinos. I don't know. Again, what is the new cabinet going to be filled with, guys? It's the first 10 reply guys on Truth Social. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's so deeply embarrassing. Like you can be affiliated with some people that you wish in hindsight you weren't. You know, like I don't have to think too hard to come up with examples for TYT. But I mean, there's got to be some cutoff point where even if you, let's say you're a Trump fan and you buy Trump, the way that Trump portrays every one of these people. Yeah, they're all traitors and they're all stupid and they're all unimpressive and they always have been. They're untalented, they're hacks, they're whatever. At a certain point, then why is he so terrible at weeding them out before putting them in positions of incredible power and responsibility? where in theory, according to his own logic, if he'd done a better job, then maybe he would have accomplished more as president. But instead, this guy whose only pitch was, I'm the business guy, I choose who gets hired and fired, is apparently singularly terrible at that.
Yeah. Cannot run a business. That is called not being able to run a business. If you're like, no, I'll just do it myself, or I should just replicate me. Yeah, I'd like to see him try, but also, yeah, you're a terrible businessman.
Terrible, yeah, and it's consequential. And of course, it's not. That's if you give him his case that he's made. In reality, it's sure. Again, like with everything else, it is contingent. They are great, and they have big brains. If they're doing what he wants, if they're saying nice things about him, the second that they're not, their brains shrink, tiny little brain. That's all it is. The most obvious thing in the world. Trump fans either pretend to not see it or they just like it. They like that that's the way things operate. Okay, with that said, that is all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you to everyone watching on the linear platforms, listening on the podcast. But there is a lot more to come in the aftermath, including Joe Rogan pushing for a debate between somebody sciency and RFK Jr., orcas. Yay or nay, we're gonna figure it out definitively and more after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.